We're speaking today with Dr. Lee Janelle. Lee, you've developed great success in your business, first as a chiropractor and now as a leading life coach. You've had great positive energy and you've helped many people find peace and joy in their lives and to develop their passions into successful businesses. We appreciate you taking the time to share some of your ideas with us today.
It's my pleasure, Wendy.
Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing here at the Center for Heart Living?
Yes, I founded the Center for Heart Living, but also the Heart at Work Institute. And what I do is I dedicate myself to help my clients find clarity and dissolve any blocks that could stand in the way of their goals, their aspirations in life, whether it be an individual or a company. So I work both with individuals and companies as well to help them be successful, whatever success is for them, because that's what we have to determine, first of all, is what is success for someone.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. So how do you determine what success would be with an individual or a company?
Well, when I work with individuals or company, I base everything on the heart. That's why it's called Heart at Work Institute or Center for Heart Living, because as human beings, we live our life either through our mind, mm-hmm. our emotions, mm-hmm. or our heart. And we are only truly successful when we live from the heart. And so it demands to do some inner work to become aware of what your highest values. For example, being successful for one person would be to work 40 hours a week and make a certain amount of money, but for somebody else it could be to work 20 hours a week and have time with their family. So what you need to do is you need to be clear on what represents success for you and not try to live according to what other people tell you success should be all about. Mm-hmm. Like I've worked with some of the biggest name in Hollywood. I've been in like in their house in New York and they have sent, you know, private jets and all kinds of things. They have fame and they have millions of fans, but still, if you don't connect it with the heart, you don't feel successful, because success is not something you achieve, success is something you are.
That's a whole different perspective, and I imagine in working with people, many people have a disconnect between their heart and the way that they're living. And really, so many people's lives are about searching for that. Our audience consists of nutritionists. What would you say would be the key factors in someone thriving in their own practice as a nutritionist?
As a nutritionist and as any other practitioner, I find there are two main important points to be successful in your career. First, you need to have good self-esteem. Second, you need to feel like an expert. Mm-hmm. If you have those two requirements, mm-hmm. you'll be successful. I've taken thousands and thousands of hours of self-development work. I've studied with a lot of people around the globe. I think I spent over $250,000 so far, if not more, into studying people and what makes people successful. Mm-hmm. And first, you need to be aware of that. You need to know that if you don't put value on yourself, why would anybody put value on you? So you need to have good self-esteem. You mm-hmm. need to believe in yourself and your ability. So I call mm-hmm. myself an inner game coach. So I coach people right. on doing that. That's my specialty. I help right. people be strong, have good value. Mm-hmm. And then also I've coached people in business. I've been I was a chiropractor for 22 years. I had a wellness center and I had homeopath and nutritionist working with me for a while, massage therapist. So I've helped many practitioners become successful within my center, but also mm-hmm. outside as a coach. And basically, those are the two things you need to do. You need to feel that what you have has value. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to sell what you don't want.
Absolutely.
So you need to own who you are and the value you bring and feel like you're an expert. That's why it's great that the people who are listening to this right now, you're putting energy into learning and becoming more of an expert. So mm-hmm. an expert in your business, first you need to feel you're a really good nutritionist, mm-hmm. but you also need to know about business.
Right.
Because we start often with great aspirations, we want to help the world, but you also need to know about business. To right. be successful in business, you need to know about business.
Totally agree, and that's what, you know, we've been working with through the association. We're finding that people come out of school, they have a certain degree of education. And, of course, as a nutritionist, it's a never-ending education. There's always that achieving the expert in the field, as you say. The big part, the big piece of the puzzle, is running the business.
Think about the practitioners you go and consult. What do they have in common? Usually you feel good around them. Mm-hmm. They're not stressed out. They don't look like a deer in the headlight, afraid that you're not going to come back. So the people you go see, they usually have tranquility, they have inner confidence, mm-hmm. and they're good at what they do. And they make you feel welcome. They make you feel mm-hmm. like you matter. So those are very, very important mm-hmm. Points to have if you want to be successful. If you go to a restaurant, what kind of restaurant do you like to go back to? What makes that place special? Why would you recommend it to your friends? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as a practitioner. You need to bring that. You need to bring that warmth mm-hmm. that makes people feel welcome, make people feel heard, understood, understand where they're coming from, what they want from you, but also make them feel safe. That if there, people have so much information right now. And when I was in LA three weekends ago, speaking at a conference there to 400 people, I heard somebody else say that right now people are overloaded with information. Mm-hmm. What people want is directions.
Very good point.
What you need to provide is, if you're with your client, you need to have an outline of what it looks like to work with you. What are the mm-hmm. goals, so that people say, I think I can do this. Mm-hmm. This is something I can follow, because otherwise people are lost. They have too much. We overloaded with information.
True. And particularly in the field of nutrition, where everybody's an expert, and you can watch it on Dr. Oz, you can read it in every magazine and newspaper going. But there is a lot of conflicting information. So mm-hmm. really our job as nutritionists, as you say, is to make the roadmap.
One of the greatest tip I can give you to help you in your practice as a nutritionist is to have, after you see your client the first time, you listen to their story and what they're looking for, is to do a report of findings. Mm-hmm. First, you write down what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. If they have a complaint or what they're looking for, maybe they just want to be healthy. So first you need to write that. The second thing on it is, what is your findings? What did you see? What did you mm-hmm. realize that's what's going on? Then three, you have to tell them, what do you propose? So have a plan for the actions they're going to take. So you need to write it. I'm going to see you once a month or twice a month for the next 6 months, and then we'll do a reevaluation. Mm-hmm. During that time, we're going to do A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And any remarks you can have. If you do that, you show the picture, because people want to know that you know. And they want to know how long it's going to take, how much it's going to cost them. Ultimately, what people want to know is that you know what's going on. That by following you, they will get better.
They want you to take charge of the process and manage it for them, mapping out the plan, mm-hmm. putting a price on it, and offering it to them as a package. And you want to get to from A to B. This is the map and how you get there. One of the concepts you taught me that I'm most grateful for is to see the personal challenges in your life as positive elements that help shape you into who you are. And they're actually good things in your life. These things that sometimes in your life that feel insurmountable can be the greatest benefit. So I'm just wondering if you could share some ideas around that.
Well, again, being in LA 3 weekends ago, 400 people, I asked the question, raise your hand if you've never had any major challenges. Nobody raised their hand. And I've asked this to thousands of people in my seminars. So do you think that as human beings, we better get our head around the fact that we are all going to face challenges? Mm-hmm. We are all going to face challenges. And once I asked a client of mine who's a mom what it would have been like for her if she had had children, not knowing that it was going to be lots of pain and labor. Can you imagine going in labor and not knowing that this is going to be painful? You could thought, my God, I'm going to die. Like you could flip. Well, it's good to know that life is going to bring challenges. So if that's the game of life, if we're wise, we're going to learn to use both sides. And that's why you can't see this right now, but I always use the yin and the yang, the Tao symbol, so the light and the dark side. And for me, it gives a perfect visual what life is really all about. And to explain it, I like to use an analogy. It's a corny story, but it's the perfect corny story. And it's the scientist that's observing a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. It takes a long time. It's a big struggle. So the scientist feels sorry for the butterfly and decides to cut the cocoon open. But because it does that, the butterfly has nothing to push against and its wings are too weak. and it can never fly, and it dies like that. So if we are smart, what we're going to do is realize that every challenge that's sent our way is actually there to make our wings stronger. Because if we actually had mastered whatever challenge is in front of us, it wouldn't be a challenge. It would be easy breezy. We would just walk through it. So if you feel you have a challenge, it's because it's something you haven't mastered yet. And start asking yourself, whenever you have an obstacle or a challenge in front of you, ask yourself, how is this helping me be more successful? What is it I'm supposed to learn that I don't know yet that I need to learn so I can get where I want to go?
Mm-hmm.
So you use both the support, because a lot of things happen that are supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also use the challenges
mm-hmm.
to get you where you want to go. And that's how you're going to win the game of life. Napoleon Hill, who had been hired by Dale Carnegie in the 1920s, had been asked to go around the United States and interview the most successful people at the time. And he found they all have one trait in common. And that was the ability to find the benefits within the crisis. The average person has an obstacle or a crisis and sucks their thumb for the rest of their life and says, poor me.
Yeah.
And the successful people go, all right, I got a challenge. How am I going to use this to my advantage? And you can use this for your business. If you're a parent, you do the same thing with your kids. You start very young. You ask them, how are you going to use this to your advantage? That's the greatest gift you can give your clients, your kids, your family, and yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really key to, in speaking to the practitioners that are struggling, they have a little bit of success, have a few clients, but they're seeing that the walls and the obstacles are big and at times insurmountable, and they're questioning the good that they're able to offer. From your perspective, then you would say you need to sit back and look really hard at what these challenges actually are. And tying that back to what you're talking about in terms of being a successful practitioner would be then to look at yourself and to say, what are the limiting beliefs I have about myself? Am I projecting this idea that I'm only going to be 20% successful? How do I break through and become that person that feels worthy of being 100% successful?
It's been said that the volume of your practice is proportional to your enthusiasm. The volume of your practice will be proportional to your enthusiasm. And most people, when they start a business, go into fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is the opposite of enthusiasm. So to be a successful practitioner, you need to do whatever it takes to dissolve fear. Because fear is the only thing that stands between you and your dreams. So it's a game of managing fear. So two fears we have is being unworthy mm-hmm. of success or being incapable. Success.
Hmm.
So these are the two things we need to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And one good way of avoiding that is first need to own the value of your service. So one thing you can do is take a piece of paper and write 30 advantages to come and see you. You as a practitioner, yourself and your personality, but also you versus having to go to see a medical doctor and be put on meds for the rest of your life. Like, how much is that going to cost at the end of a lifetime when you're on mm-hmm. these meds? First, they give you often anti-inflammatory drugs. And those anti-inflammatory drugs, then they start to destroy your liver and your kidney. Then you start having other kind of symptoms. And then, so then people have less and less vitality. They end up costing them a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to own is that your services are cheap. And your services also transform the lives of people. And if you can tie the highest value of your client to coming to see, for example, let's say you see someone and they're a grandparent. And what they would love, love, love is to be able to play with their grandkids. So tying them doing the work with you with being able to achieve something else, just not about nutrition, but the goal is like, all right, you're going to feel strong, fit, you won't have pain anymore. You'll be able to bend over and pick up your grandchild. That's
mm-hmm.
something amazing. So finding what are the benefits to come and see me?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it cheap to come and see me? Me as a practitioner, why is it good to come and see me? Because I'm honest, I'm caring, I keep doing my research, I keep learning and evolving, I create a beautiful environment. All of the things you can list about yourself as a practitioner, but also as a nutritionist. What are the benefits of being a nutritionist? Why should they see you versus somebody else? So owning that is very important.
One thing that struck me out of what you just commented on is spelling it out for people in terms of their long-term, how they can potentially feel. Because I think sometimes we get people as clients who have no idea what good health feels like. And so they might not value our service because they don't think it's possible for them to feel any better. So you, part of your goal in being a nutritionist and attracting clients is to allow people to know that you don't have to live like this. There is potential to feel so much better.
Well, if you look at TV and media, one of my patients, when I was a chiropractor, on 3 magazines, they told me, you'll never see ads for chiropractors because a third of all my money for marketing comes from the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm.
So if you turn on TV, what are you going to see? You're going to see pharmaceuticals, you're going to see food and cars. Those are the three main things you see as media support. So you'll never, people have been trained to believe there's a pill for every ill. Instead of there's a solution out there. And beware, because a pill for every ill is dangerous. It's going to destroy you in the long term. Again, if we use the yin and the yang, and the light part being support and the dark part being challenge, what people are going to realize is that you're going to have support and challenge your whole life. If you stay in your comfort zone and take a pill, because it's easier, for sure, you take a pill, you know, yeah, you pay some money for the pill, but you just have to pick the pill. Well, in the long run, you're going to attract yourself challenges. Your health is going to be destroyed. It's going to cost you a lot of money, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
The other way around, you challenge yourself. You take charge of your life. You change your nutrition. You eat healthy food. You buy organic. Yes, it costs more money, but you're investing yourself in the long run. So by challenging yourself, then you attract support. You're going to be vibrant and healthy for a long time by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So support and challenge won't change. And as a nutritionist, you really need to own that. That it's human behavior. We all want what's easy.
Yeah.
But what you have to show your client is that life is going to be easier once you challenge yourself. And it's often just about creating a new habit. Because once you've created a new habit and you find food you love, that's why people will have to realize you don't have to torture yourself to be healthy. You can eat such great food that are good for your health, and people just have to change their mindset around food.
Right, absolutely. So it works on both levels, what you're communicating to your client for long-term health, but also for you as a practitioner. What you've said is not living in that comfort zone, but stepping out into the fear factor. And you're challenging your clients to do that, but you need to do it yourself
exactly.
In order to be a success.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What inspires you? What motivates you on a daily basis?
For me, I love when I see the sparkle in people's eyes when they really get it, that actually they can have everything they want in life. And it just clicks that aha moment and go, oh, I hadn't seen it that way before. So for me, that's what inspires me. That's what pulls me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as practitioners, sometimes we face challenges. And one thing I can recommend the listeners right now to do, something that's going to give you confidence in yourself. Remember I said the only thing between you and your dreams is fear? So managing your fear is important. So take a graph paper, and on one axis, the vertical axis, put the amount of money or the amount of clients that you see, and then on the horizontal axis, put the number of the name of the months, and graph your services throughout a year. And you're probably going to see there's going to be highs and lows. And especially if they're starting, there's going to be highs and lows, but there's going to be a trend towards more and more clients. And keep that in mind, because there are times of the years where people are not into, like right after Christmas time and New Year's, people are tired, they ate too much, they feel ashamed. Sometimes they don't want to come and see the nutritionist because they've been bad.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe towards the end of January, then you start seeing more people. And then at March break, people go away. So you learn to manage your emotions.
Right.
And so when you know it's going to be a slower period, you take your holidays during that time. You go take a course. You do the things that are going to keep you enthusiastic. Because people are going to come and see you a lot for that. They want to see you vibrant.
Excellent advice.
Keep inspired. Keep track of your clientele and how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to get client ends is to be enthusiastic and educate the people you already have inside your practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because let's say you help this mom and she was having difficulties, she didn't have energy, she was tired, but she's connected, she goes to the park and she connects with the other moms in there, and then she starts to feel better, and then she talks about you. That's the best way of growing a practice. So when you're enthusiastic and you own the value of your services, then your clients are enthusiastic. Because also what's very, very important to own is what's going to make your clients put value into your services. The more someone is committed to something, the more value they get out of it. The more someone is committed to something, the more value they get out of it. For example, as parents, you've been committed to your kids 100%. That's why they have high value. When you're committed to your career yourself and you keep investing in yourself and you're doing things like this right now and keep learning and growing, the more you invest yourself into your career, the more value it has for you. Same is true for your clients. That's why it's important for you to charge. Don't be afraid of charging.
Excellent point. And I think that's another downfall, and it's tied very closely to the feeling of self-worth.
When I was a chiropractor, people could go see a physiotherapist, or they could go see a chiropractor. And physiotherapy was covered, and chiropractic was not covered. Often the people would go for physiotherapy for a long time, and then sometimes they didn't get any results. Once they decided to come and see me as a chiropractor and they would have to pay out of pocket, they meant business. And they got better. I definitely saw that. And the one thing I've learned over the years is never want it for your clients more than the clients want it for themselves.
Hmm.
Never want it more for your clients than the clients want it for themselves, because it always will backfire on you. So asking for money is one way to get them to commit, because once they commit, they're going to get value.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're going to follow through the recommendations that you make.
Right.
Because otherwise, I remember, and that I've learned that so early on. One of my patients, she asked me if I would take care of a friend of hers who was deaf. And she didn't have much money. So I think I was charging back then $25 usually. So I said, okay, myself, I charge her $5. Well, she would often not show up on time. She would be late. Or if she didn't show up, she wouldn't even bother calling to let me know. I gave her recommendation, exercises to do. She didn't do them. But the worst was one day when I ended up saying to me that she was going to New York City and she had to go buy cassettes for a video camera. Here she was going to New York City and she had money for a video camera. I didn't have one back then. And I realized I was actually paying for her trip to New York. And I realized this is very, very important. People won't pay for what they need. People will pay for what they want.
Absolutely.
So you need to, as a nutritionist, you need to own that they want this. You need to be able to communicate to your clients what are going to be the benefits, so they want this. People can spend $80 on the pack of cigarette, you know, every month, which is $1,000, and that's actually a minimal smoker nowadays. But they think they can't afford to go see a nutritionist. It's not really about what they need, it's about what they want. So if you're a wise nutritionist, you start speaking in terms of their values. What's in it for them to do this? Because people, as we said earlier, often don't recognize that.
That's an excellent point.
Put value into your services. Don't be afraid of charging.
Yeah.
Never want it more for your client than they want it for themselves.
Right.
And the way you know that is they're willing to pay you.
Right. So if you have the client that is fussing over the payment or isn't complying, their commitment isn't there.
Exactly.
So you need to challenge that and see where you stand and move on if that isn't going to work. And eventually they may get to a place where they do want it. And sometimes it's a matter of you saying, no, thank you. in order for them to get there.
It's important you let go, because sometimes when we first start, we are afraid if I let them go, I'm going to lose that income. It's going to cost you more to hang on to someone who's not committed, because they're not going to do what you tell them, and then they're not going to get the results, which is going to get you depressed,
right.
And then they're not going to speak well of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, I went to see this nutritionist.
Didn't work. Yeah.
Which is not really good. That's what's worse.
Yeah,
and check
true.
It owning
that's
responsibility, they will project it onto you.
We're noticing that there is a trend, a societal trend, towards health and wellness. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, if you see that pendulum sort of swinging the other way, where we're seeing foods that used to be sort of solely in the health food store are now in our local grocery stores and corner stores, and people are more well-versed. From our perspective, we're hopeful that that momentum is going to swing into the favor of health. People are taking responsibility, and with that, we'll be more willing to consult with an expert and see a nutritionist and get that guidance.
I fully agree. I'm excited. I see that even I just go up to Loblaws, and they have a huge organic section now. It's so inspiring to see that. And still, unfortunately, it seems to be connected with the area of town where people have more money that are going to be willing to pay more for
mm-hmm.
organic food. But I think one day it's going to be the norm. People are realizing you're getting sick. Cancer is like, they put gazillions of dollars in cancer, supposedly research, but they never look, what are the cause for cancer? They're always like, which chemo can we give?
Mm-hmm.
Try to destroy the cancer, but what is causing the cancer? And the people who are smarter right now, more cultivated, they're looking for prevention. They don't want to get cancer. They want to prevent it. And when you read the list of pesticides and what it can do to your body, it's scary. So I think people are getting smarter. They realize that taking a pill is not taking care of their health. It's not a health care system. It's a disease care system.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you want to be healthy, you need to take your life in your own hands and turn it around. So you're probably right now looking, probably 20% of the population is interested into making
mm-hmm.
serious changes. And 3% are going to be extremely dedicated. That's usually the numbers you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So as a nutritionist, just know you won't be able to convert everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can also know that, like you can, one thing you can do is ask your client, what are their goals? Like, are they dedicated to changing their whole lifestyle around, or just make some minimal changes? Because don't get them upset by trying to change everything if they don't want to. So,
that's a very good point.
So you need to know
yeah.
where they're at and get them
mm-hmm.
committed where they're at. And once they see the results, then it's easier to step them up.
Yeah.
If they are at the bottom, you try to step them up 5 rungs, it's too far. You're going to scare them. They don't believe they can get there.
Right.
So you step them up slowly but surely to optimal health.
It's peeling the onion one layer at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. As people start to feel better, they want more of that. They didn't know they could feel that good. So let's
they
keep going.
They did not believe.
I find
the reason why people won't pay for you is either they're not committed
mm-hmm.
or they don't believe you can help them. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. If for sure 100% they were committed and they knew it's going to help them, why wouldn't they do it?
So the interview up front is going to be crucial,
mm-hmm.
really, in this process and setting somebody up as a long-term successful client with you. It's sitting down and getting some of the real mindset of the client and getting a clear understanding of where they are now and where they see what success looks like for them.
Yeah, because otherwise you create fear again. Remember,
right.
Fear is when it's what's in the way. So we don't want to petrify people to believing, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to change everything. I don't have the self-discipline to do this. I'm going to fail again.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to give them something that's manageable for them.
You've given us wonderful advice. Just to end, I wanted to ask you, what's the best advice anyone ever gave you?
I've had two big things that changed my life. One, when I was 16 years old, I read a book. It's called The Name of My People by Martin Gray. And Martin escaped Auschwitz 3 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And his philosophy was, when you see an opportunity, grab it. Grasp at it. Because it might never come back. So because of it, when I was 19 years old, a friend of mine said to me, I'm going to Montreal to see if I could be accepted in chiropractic college. You should come with me. I felt, oh, yes. That feels right. nobody in my family had ever been a doctor or studied at university even. So he took me totally out of my comfort zone, and he transformed, this man changed my life. I have lived an amazing life because of that. So that was one something, the power of questions, asking the perfect question to someone to totally inspire them. And the other part, the big inspiration has been to find gratitude for everything that happens in life. Because when you have gratitude, you have access to living heaven on earth. And when we are ungrateful, we live hell on earth. So if you choose to have an amazing life, learning to have gratitude for everything is the best way to go through life and having fun.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate all of your insight. And if people want more information or to connect with you, they can go to the Center for Heart Living.
.com. This centerforheartliving.com or the Heart at Work Institute. So if you're looking more for your practice right now as a nutritionist, probably go to Heart at Work Institute. And if you want to specialize, if you want to look more into the inner game part of yourself, I have lots of videos you can watch and blogs you can read that can help you.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.